using the tapes in the vasty hall of death. Whichever it was, when he entered the tent on the plains by the Vedra, he greeted the man inside with the name Sam. This man laid his hand upon his blade and faced him. "Death, you precede the battle," he said. "There has been a change," Yama replied. "What sort of change?" "Position. I have come here to oppose the will of heaven."
"In what way?"
"Steel, fire, blood."
"Why this change?"
"Divorces are made in heaven, and betrayals, and shamings. The lady has gone too far, and I know now the reason, Lord Kalkin. I neither embrace your accelerationism, nor do I reject it. It's only mattering to me is that it represents the one force in the world to oppose heaven. I will join you with this understanding if you will accept my blade."
"I accept your blade, Lord Yama."
"And I will raise it against any of the heavenly horde, saving only Brahma himself, whom I will not face."
"Agreed."
"Then permit me to serve as your charioteer."
"I would, only I have no chariot of battle."
"I brought one, a very special one. For a long time have I labored upon it, and it is not yet complete, but it will suffice. I must assemble it this night, however, for the battle will commence tomorrow at dawn."
"I have felt that it might.
The Rakasha have warned me as to the movement of troops near here." "Yes, I saw them as I passed overhead. The main attack should come from the northeast, across the plains. The gods will join in later. But there will doubtless be parties coming from all directions, including up the river."
"We control the river. Dalisa of the Glow waits at its bottom. When the time comes, she can raise up mighty waves, making it to boil and overflow its banks.
I had thought the Glow extinguished."
"Save for her, it is. She is the last."
"I take it the Rakasha will be fighting with us?"
"Yes, and others."
"What others?"
"I have accepted assistance, bodies without minds, a war party of such, from Lord Niriti."
Yama's eyes narrowed and his nostrils flared. "This is not good, Siddhartha. Sooner or later, he will have to be destroyed, and it is not good to be in the debt of such a one."
"I know that, Yama, but I am desperate. They arrive tonight."
"If we win, Siddhartha, toppling the celestial city, breaking the old religion, freeing man for industrial progress, still will there be opposition. Niriti, who has waited all these centuries for the passing of the gods, will then have to be fought and beaten himself. It will either be this or the same thing all over again, and at least the gods of the city have some measure of grace in their unfair doings."
"I think he would have come to our assistance whether invited or not."
"Yes, but by inviting him or accepting his offer, you owe him this thing."
"And I will have to deal with that situation when it arises."
"That's politics, I guess, but I like it not."
Sam poured them of the sweet, dark wine of Keenset. "I think Kubera would like to see you later," he said, offering a goblet.
"What is he doing?" asked Yama.
"Accepting it and draining it off in a single swallow. Drilling troops and giving classes on the internal combustion engine to all the local savants," said Sam. "Even if we lose, some may live and go elsewhere."
"If it is to be put to any use, they will need to know more than engine design."
"He's been talking himself hoarse for days, and the scribes are taking it all down. Geology, mining, metallurgy, petroleum chemistry.
Had we more time, I would give my assistance. As it is, if 10% is retained, it may be sufficient. Not tomorrow, or even the next day, but..."
Sam finished his wine, refilled the goblets.
"To the morrow, charioteer. To the blood, binder. To the blood and the killing.
Some of the blood may be our own, Death God. But so long as we take sufficient of the enemy with us..."
"I cannot die, Siddhartha.
save by my own choosing. How can that be, Lord Yama? Let death keep his own small secrets, Binder, for I may choose not to exercise my option in this battle. As you would, Lord. To your health and long life. To yours. The day of the battle dawned pink as the fresh-bitten thigh of a maiden. A small mist drifted in from the river. The bridge of the gods glistened all of gold in the east, reached back, darkening into retreating night, divided the heavens like a burning equator. The warriors of Keenset waited outside the city, upon the plain by the Vedra. 5,000 men, with blades and bows, pikes and slings, waited for the battle. 1,000 zombies stood in the front ranks, led by the living sergeants of the Black One, who guided all their movements by the drum, scarves of black silk curling in the breeze like snakes of smoke upon their helms. 500 lancers were held to the rear. The silver cyclones that were the Rakasha hung in the middle air. Across the half-lit world, the occasional growl of a jungle beast could be heard. Fire elementals glowed upon tree limb, lance, and pennon pole. There were no clouds in the heavens. The grasses of the plain were still moist and sparkling. The air was cool, the ground still soft enough to gather footprints readily. Gray and green and yellow were the colors that smote the eye beneath the heavens. And the Vedra swirled within its banks, gathering leaves from its escort of trees. It is said that each day recapitulates the history of the world, coming up out of darkness and cold into confused light and beginning warmth, consciousness blinking its eyes somewhere in mid-morning, awakening thoughts a jumble of illogic and unattached emotion, and all speeding together toward the order of noontide. The